Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, and this is the Boomers Ultimate Guide Podcast, the place where boomers like me and like you can come together to learn, share, and grow a thriving business and vibrant life. Cue music. Hi, I'm Kaylin Amadio, your Boomer host and creator of the Boomers Ultimate Guide podcast, and I am thrilled to be able to share another guest with you, Judy Schreiner. She is a journalist, an author, and a radio show host who has been writing about boomers for over a decade. Her book, Building for Boomers, published by McGraw-Hill, is a guide to design, construction, and remodeling of housing for aging baby boomers and their succeeding generations. Judy has been a journalist covering advertising, marketing, design, and construction and various business issues for three decades for consumer and trade publications. And she's a baby boomer herself. Her current project involves writing and speaking about communication, namely between the sexes, men and women. That's a huge topic, Judy. Welcome to the Boomers Ultimate Guide podcast.
Thank you, Kaylin. It is so wonderful to be with you. I'm just really looking forward to this.
Terrific. Now, do me a favor and tell the audience a little bit more about you and what we're going to be speaking about today.
Okay. Let's see where to start. I've been a journalist. I've been covering business issues. I've been covering design and construction, advertising and marketing. Based on your bio, I think I'm a little bit like you, where I do a lot of things. And in my case, I don't do any of them all that well. I do them, you know, I like this deep, not real deep. So being a journalist is perfect. Ever since I was little, I'm an only child. My dad was German. He wanted
a
boy.
I'm an only child too.
My dad wanted a boy. He didn't get a boy. My mom was very smart in that she entrusted me to him early on. So I was daddy's girl. But he taught me how to do things like a guy. You know, the thing was, the efficiency was as a guy. So the biggest compliment was, I'm as smart as a guy. I drive a car like a guy. I throw a ball like a guy. You know, these were always the things that I was reinforced to do.
This is sounding very familiar to my life. Go on.
Consequently, I had a lot of guy friends early on because I could relate to them. I never related to the frou-frou world. I was never a tomboy particularly, but I just, you know, my whole aim was in a different direction. My dad and I would do all kinds of fun things together, and he was never anyone to talk seriously with. That was my mom's job. But whenever I wanted anything, I knew exactly how to get it from him. I saw my mom do that, and I thought she was very manipulative. So growing up, I just really rejected everything that she did to get him to give her, you know, give her permission to call someone to fix something, because he was a fixer, etc. And then I got into corporate America, and one of my bosses, I couldn't get anything past him. He wouldn't okay anything. And I looked at him, he even looked a little bit like my dad, and he was from the same part of the universe, and he was so much like him that I thought, I'm going to try something. So I tried treating him like my dad, and I had no trouble at all. Zero trouble from then on. We were pals and everything worked. So over the years, wherever I went, I was with guys, and I could relate to them very well. My dad had a great sense of humor. He would, nothing was sacred to him, so everything was a joke. And so I learned to banter, you know, like guys do. And I also learned to appreciate sports. So consequently, I could go into any room and be with guys and feel very comfortable. So of course, starting to cover design and construction, especially the construction part, I was the only woman in the room half the time, and I was extremely comfortable with that. So as I got to know people and talk to them, they kept telling me, I've never told anyone this before. And that became such a staple in my life that I came to expect it. I was disappointed practically if I didn't hear it. And I mean, this was on airplanes with strangers. It was with bosses. I can't tell you how many bosses confided in me amazing things. One of them told me how he lost his virginity, etc., at a Black Sabbath concert. Don't you love that? And I mean, I just heard amazing things. And of course, as a journalist, you know, they learned to trust me because I kept their business secrets. And so consequently, I learned how to get men to talk to me. And so, you know, they say that if you do something kind of by nature, that you just break it down and you teach other people how. So that's what I'm doing now.
I love this story because you could just be describing my own life to me. So I get you. So much you do not even understand. I completely get this. Okay, so we're like sisters from another mister.
Right.
All right. So we're gonna talk about boomers. We're gonna help some boomers yes. out today. So we're gonna talk Good. About communication. Tell me, how is working with boomers different? Do you see, or how are boomers handling communication differently?
You know, we're kind of a hybrid because we grew up with a lot of the traditional values of our previous generation, the silent generation. Mm-hmm. My experience of the silent generation, by the way, is that they're not very silent. I've got some very, very good friends from that generation. They are not silent. I think they're honorary boomers. They create trouble wherever they go in a good way. And then we've got, you know, the whole new thing. You know, the problem with baby boomers is that it is segregated by age. I'm a leading edge baby boomer. I was born fairly early on. And I have friends who are boomers who are a different generation. They like different music. They were socialized differently. So to generalize about boomers, I think, is a mistake. But that being said, boomers are still kind of in the middle because they have the values and mores and habits of our parents and the previous generation. And yeah. then we have the kids and the millennials and the Gen X and all this stuff. And so we're kind of flailing around a bit, you know, because we're not comfortable in either world.
Yeah, you're right. We do straddle, and it's such a large span of time, I guess, about 18 years, you know, yeah. that they've tagged us with. And I land it towards the end, almost at the end of that. So there are differences, but you're absolutely right. You know, we pick up all of those habits that our parents, who are not 10, I mean, I guess some boomers could have parents that are boomers, that could be. But for the most part, you know, our parents were that older generation
right.
who saw that life was supposed to happen a certain way. And I was taught,
yes,
you know, like you work hard to get a paycheck. Someone will notice how hard you work. You know, there are certain things.
Exactly.
But that doesn't always work when you're an entrepreneur or you're dealing with corporations now.
Yes.
You know, in the way the world is now.
Absolutely. So,
yeah,
well, boomers.
We're in a little bit of a sandwich place that's weird.
Yes. What we want out of corporate America and out of a job is very different from what the next generations want. And that makes it really challenging in the workplace.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right. So let's give some tips to boomers. If you could identify three of your top tips for boomers regarding their workplace, their communication. How can women talk to men? How can men talk to women?
Well, I think a lot of women really want, you know, men, bosses or whatever, to talk to them about or resolve issues, which requires communication. And so if I'm limited to three, which I really blanch at, I would say the number one thing is to don't judge or get angry. Whenever you are wanting to talk to someone, be open. you know, don't accuse, say, when this happened, I felt this way, or I thought this, or whatever. You know, say, you made me feel this, or you did this, you know, and don't point your finger at them. Don't, you know, poke their chest verbally or literally. And be light, I would say, because it's whatever you're talking about is probably a heavy, meaningful subject, and it works better if you approach it in a light way, not funny, but even when you're in the middle of something and they say something that you know is just baloney, you know, don't say that's baloney. Say, oh, really? You know, make light of it. And then the other thing I would say is don't interrupt. When you've got somebody who is not particularly a communicator talking, don't interrupt them. What you're trying to get from them is their point of view. And then after they've shared their point of view, which could take a long time. Oh, man, I can tell you some examples in my own life, especially as a journalist when people were mad at me, where I had to let them vent and I had to sit there and I had to listen and I had to make sure that I was listening in a receptive way as opposed to I couldn't wait to make my own point, you know, type thing. So, and then the last thing, don't hold it against them later. If whatever they say in this supposed safe space that you're creating comes back to haunt them later, they won't talk to you next time.
That's right. Yeah. Those are all really good points. Really good points, especially that last one. Don't hold on to something and then throw it back in somebody's face later.
Exactly.
That is no
exactly.
good. You know, I read an article. I think it was a couple months ago. It was sometime during the summer. That, and women and men both do this. That men interrupt women when they're talking.
Yes.
And I can't remember. It was some double-digit huge percentage. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was very significant.
Yes.
That they feel free to interrupt women when women are talking. And other women interrupt women when they're talking, but we tend not to interrupt men when men are talking. And I thought that mm-hmm. was very interesting.
You know, most of my friends are women. Most of my women friends are women who don't like other women. And so a lot of them are socialized like men. So getting together with my friends is an exercise in interruption. And as a trained journalist, I'm trained to listen. So one-on-one, I find it really interesting. One-on-one, I'm very verbal and but you get a third person in there, I almost always go silent. And listen to them and observe. And I think that is one way that I've been able to, well, being an only child, doing a lot of things alone. I go to concerts alone. I go to movies alone. I go to dinner alone. I'll go anywhere alone.
Yeah, me too.
You know, you get to observe people. When you're in a conversation with people walking down the street, you don't see people the way you do when you're alone. And as a journalist, I've had to be able to ascertain if people are telling the truth. So my greatest joy in life is to peel away the layers of the onion. And as a journalist, I got to do that and get paid.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you find that you read body language while you do that? Have you sort of picked up that ability?
Sort of. I'm trying to kind of study the micro reactions, you know.
Uh-huh.
But frankly, my life is centered around my intuition. Okay. I can feel things about people, and I've always known the minute I've met someone if I could trust them or not. Mm-hmm. I haven't always known if I like them. I've changed my mind a lot about liking them, but I've never been wrong on whether I could trust anyone.
Oh, that's very interesting. I always described myself as slow to warm up, right? So in whatever the situation is, I spend a lot of time listening
mm-hmm.
until I feel a certain level of trust with the people I'm around. Then
right.
I'll open my mouth and start to communicate with them, right? So, I watch the whole thing till I'm sure.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's very, especially in business. You know, because I've been suckered in, I have to say, by people who are very good presenters,
yes.
very good salespeople.
Yes.
And I heard this was my greatest my greatest thing that I ever heard that I've ripped off from this person. I urged him a long time ago not to go to work for this certain company, and he did anyway. And he called me back and he said, "Marble doors, cardboard floors."
Ooh.
And I've gotten suckered in with that. It's funny, my intuition on the one time that I did it in the last decade, my intuition told me that. But I had my own reasons for wanting to go ahead, and I did. And sure enough, the cardboard floors sunk me.
Yeah, you should have listened. I have a bad habit of letting my head overrule my intuition. My entire life. You know, somebody tells you you're smart long enough, then you start to believe it, and that your brain should be making all of those decisions. And I've had gut instincts and blatantly ignored them because my head said, no, this is okay, or do it this way. And in the end, it's like, God, I should have just listened to my intuition.
I'm just the opposite of that. If my little voice tells me something, I say, okay. It saved my life the other day.
Oh, really?
That was kind of fun. Yep. Normally when you're turning left, you know that you can turn when the light turns because, you know, you're out in the intersection. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it. My little voice just said, oh, stay put. And here came a moving van roaring through the amber light that turned red. I would have been smushed on the street.
Good for you.
I thought, ooh, thank you.
I'm telling you, I have been making a really conscious effort to listen to my intuition and not
good.
To say yeah, right? And it does make a difference.
Oh,
just,
yes.
Just for, you know, people out there, if you fall into my same bad habits, it really does make a difference if you try and spend some more time listening to your intuition. Not that that's what we're talking about today.
Right.
More about communication. So tell me what you think the biggest challenges or the biggest concerns that you see boomers experiencing in making this communication better.
I think people are afraid. They're afraid of being judged. They're afraid of being rejected. They're afraid of learning the truth sometimes. Mm. You know, if I ignore it, it'll resolve itself all on its own, which has happened. But so I think the biggest challenge is their own stuff. You know, one of the things that I think is so critical that people really don't pay attention to that much is whatever you do as a child, however you grew up, that's who you are in corporate America or in your own business or in anything. Where you are one place, you are every place. And there are a lot of people who are one person at home and another person at work, but a lot of us, our core is how we handle things, how we perceive things is the same. So if you grew up making up stories about why everything happened, oh, you know, he did this because. You don't know that. Well, in corporate America and in entrepreneurial America, we do the same thing. And I think if we just drop all that, I went on a cruise recently, and my friend that I went with was way ahead of me on one of the tours, and she was really racing. I thought, she hates that I'm so far behind. I mean, I made up this whole story about how she was really rejecting me. And we got back on the bus, and she said, oh, my God, I knew we had to get back. All I could think about was I had to get back to the bus in time. And I thought, oh, how about that? I made up that whole story about me. It had nothing to do with me. And I think that's what a lot of people do.
So often. And it cracks me up, especially with people who do it. I mean, everyone does it to an extent, but people who do it about everything.
Yes.
I know someone who does it about everything.
Me too.
Every day. And mm-hmm. I just sometimes sit and I listen to the entire fabrication, this whole world that she creates, that she literally just made up on the spot.
Yes.
And convinces herself is all real.
Exactly.
And I don't, I really just don't understand it. But, mm-hmm. you know, you're right. Maybe it's, you know, from childhood, something that she learned as a coping mechanism, or I don't know what it is, but it's fascinating, and it cracks me up to hear people do that.
The other thing is dealing with passive aggressive people is so difficult. They're my worst nightmare because they will not address anything directly. And if you try to address something directly, they will worm out of it. They will squirm their way out of it. They will slither their way out of it. And then they will turn it so that you're the bad guy or you're the dummy or you're the whatever the bad thing is. Right. I just hate passive-aggressive people. I would much rather have somebody say, I really hate you, than to deal with a passive-aggressive person.
Do you think, and there might not actually be an answer to this, but do you think passive-aggressive people do it intentionally, or it's just their nature, their coping mechanism?
I think passive-aggressive people are more judgmental, and I think that they can't help the way they think, or they don't think they can help the way they think, and I think that's how it manifests. I don't think they are deliberately evil. I don't like to believe that people are deliberately evil, even though I'm sure there are a lot of them that are. But I think it's just their way of coping with the world. You know, the whole challenge with dealing with other people in business is that they bring all this stuff with them. You can see their baggage dragged behind them. And that's what makes them who they are. And you can't really deal with it head on because you've got to go back and back and back to find out how they got that way.
Yeah, interesting. I can see so many people are flipping through my mind, you know, as you talk, right? And you know what? I think it's really important to remember, and this gets easier to do as you get older, right? To remember that everyone lived through their life with their certain filters and their certain experiences that made them who they are, and to not necessarily take personally how they react or how they talk or how they communicate with you or the opinions they end up having about something, because it's very rarely, you know, 99 times out of 100, it really has nothing to do with you.
Mantra is don't take it personally.
Right. You really can't. And if you can learn not to take it personally, you're so much happier.
Yes, absolutely. And there are days when I'll snap at somebody or something and I'll say, I'm sorry, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the 20 minutes before I called you or whatever.
Exactly.
Especially customer service people. Oh, my God. Let's not even go there.
That could be a whole nother show.
Yes.
We could talk about customer service communication.
Yes.
So for anyone listening to us right now, any boomers out there who are starting to recognize that, you know, there are issues within communication, right, whether it's, you know, personal or whether it's in their business setting, what would you encourage them to get up right now and do to start making changes for the better?
The first thing I would say is when you want to talk to somebody, don't prejudge what they're going to say. Go in with an open mind, and this includes your spouse. Act like you've just met them. You don't know how they're going to react, especially if you are on this new trail with them, you know, communication-wise, you don't know who this person is because it's a person you don't usually see. So be open-minded to who they can become with the new you, because if you're different, they'll be different too.
Oh, that's really wise. I like that. I mean, think about how many times with people that we're familiar with already, we don't even listen anymore.
Yes.
Because we already think we know
exactly
what they're going to say.
Yep.
And I was just thinking to myself as I'm listening to you, because I don't know you. This is our first conversation,
right?
So I'm really listening to you, right?
Yes.
And you just made me think, gosh, if I actually did this with my husband in the next conversation we have together, what might I learn about him? Yeah, actually look at him while we're talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we don't even bother to do that anymore, right?
That would be great. Yeah, report back to me how that works.
Okay, I will. You're giving me food for thought here. I like it. So, tell everyone, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
While I'm in the process of setting up my new website and everything, email is really the best way. And it's judywriter@gmail.com, JudyWriter.
Yeah,
I'm a writer.
That's right, as in writing with an implement. Yep.
Exactly. JudyWriter@gmail.com.
Okay, so that's the best way to get in touch with her.
Yes.
JudyWriter, WRITER, at gmail.com. That's how you can find Judy Schreiner. And would you like to leave us with a last, you know, story, an inspirational quote, a thought to send us on our way?
The other the other day I got a call from someone I've been working with who lives with her boyfriend. She's crazy about him and he's crazy about her. I think they're probably headed for marriage. And for the first time ever, she rejected him, his effort towards sex. And she had her own reasons for that, but she could see that she really hurt him. And she was on her way, this was the next day, to her class, which would be a late night. And she called me nuts. You know, she said, I've been thinking about this. I don't know what to do. Should I talk to him about it when I get home, et cetera? I said, you're going to be tired. He's going to be tired. You know, he's a guy. He's moved on. Whether it's resolved or not, he's moved on. You just act normal. This is what I suggested to her. And then in a moment, over the weekend or whatever, when things are calm and quiet and you have some time, bring it up coolly and calmly and talk about it as a team. And she said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, sure enough, I heard back later. It was perfect. You know, she dropped it from her mind. She went home that night and everything was normal, you know. And she said it all got resolved and it brought them to a new level of communication.
Wow. And that seems so simple to do.
Yeah.
Right? But I know, you know, are all women like this? I would be lamenting about it the whole time.
Of course.
Worried about it.
Yeah.
But you're right. The guys just, they get over it and they move on.
Yep.
Very good. Very good. Judy, it has been wonderful speaking to you.
I've had a great time.
I feel like I've known you for a while because we've hung around in the same circles, but we've not actually ever met, you know, beyond social media. I spent a lot of time in social media, but this is great to actually see you face to face.
Thank you. I've really, really had a good time. Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. And I hope you got some great tips out there, you boomers, about communication with your significant others in the workplace. This is a topic that I'm sure we could expand on for a very long time. You know, communication between the sexes. There have been a lot of books written about this.
Yes.
But hopefully you got a few wonderful tips that you're going to try out, like me, actually looking at my husband and having a having a conversation, not thinking I already know what he thinks. That's going to be great. I will report back to you, I promise.
Good. Okay, cool.
So check her out. You can contact her again at Judy Writer, WRITER, @gmail.com. And to all of you, thank you so much for spending some time here at the Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast. Until next time, take care. Boom, baby. That's it for now. See you next time on Boomer's Ultimate Guide podcast.